preacher.
Thanks, bro. All right. You notice he's got his Florida Gator orange on up here this morning. Yeah. He is a man of conviction. That's all I can say. He walked in this room and wanted to put that out in front of you today, and he was just waiting for me to say something. So all of that to say, good morning, men. Good to see you. Glad you're here. What a great way to start a Thursday morning and really sort of officially begin the weekend, I think, for all of us. And so really, really thrilled that you've come and that we have this opportunity to get together and connect. I love Men's Forum. He was just talking about the resources that are online. I was doing a little bit of counting up this past week of just the numbers of messages and series that I have done in my years of ministry here. And when we finish this, I'm going to have nearly 70 Men's Forum messages online. And so it's hard to believe that over these years, some of you have been in many of these, others of you have just started with us, but I do want you to know there is a lot of material, a variety of different topics, subject matter, things like that, that I hope will be helpful to you and you can go get and pick up on together. Hey, when you hear the word hack, what comes to mind? Now, some of you start thinking about coughing, don't you? I mean, for a lot of years, that's what hacking was. You started coughing and hacking and doing all of that, getting all choked up. But the word that I really heard had to do with hackers, people who know how to get in or get through or get over any sort of security or protection in order to try to take care of something of great value. And so hackers are sort of a new type of personality, of criminal profile, of a lot of things that you could talk about. And of course, within our city, the issue of cybersecurity is the fastest growing industry potentially in this area, in this region, even as it continues to be something of such incredible impact across the nation and around the world. But when it gets to the idea of life hacking, I wonder how many of you could say, I know some hacks for life. If a hacker is someone who can get in or get through or get beyond, then do you have some hacks that help you, especially when life gets hard? Life hacking has been defined as this. A life hack is any trick, shortcut, skill, or novelty method that increases productivity and efficiency in all walks of life. A life hack is any trick, shortcut, skill, or novelty method that increases productivity and efficiency in all walks of life. There's actually a website called lifehacks.com. And if you go to 1000lifehacks.com, that's exactly what you find. 1,000 different ways in the area of health and technology and travel and all kinds of things to help you to learn some hacks in life. Let me give you a few examples. I brought some of these. Here are several on this screen. If you have problems with bugs at night, use a warm white LED light bulb, and it will emit less blue and UV light so as to attract a few less insects. I like this one. You can remove underarm sweat stains by spraying lemon juice on the area before washing them. Now, it stings, but you can do it. Let me go to another screen here. How about this one here in the middle? If you have a sore throat, it's good to eat a piece of cucumber. It cools down your throat and stops it from itching. You ever thought about that? Going to the grocery store, picking up a cucumber, checking it out, and as you're standing there saying, you know, these things are great for your throat. How about this one? The faster you eat, the more weight you gain. A study has showed that a fast eater gains 4.2 pounds over 8 years, while a slower eater gains only 1.5 pounds. You want a way to lose weight? Just slow down your eating. Now, that's hard for some of us, because if you're like me, when you have the opportunity, you want to consume. But anyway, interesting. Then some others here. Phone charger not working. Use a toothpick to clean it out. Most of the time, it's just filled with lint from being in your pocket. Pull it out, and it'll work again like new. Just go in and use a toothpick to do that. Now, don't break it off while you got it in there. Then you got another problem. This is really good. Learning a new language. Figure out the 100 most frequently used words at first. These words make up about 50% of the vocabulary, the speech of everyday life. Just hacks, little things, a whole bunch of just little, did you know this in life? And it's amazing how many of these you can find. Well, I believe that that hacking is something that we need to learn how to do, especially in the hard places and spaces of life. And so that's why today our topic is hacking the hard stuff. Hacking the hard stuff. How do we really, as men, address the issue of some of the things that are often hang-ups and bad habits when it comes to the hard things in life? Frankly, for many of us, the only two responses that we know to hard things in life are fight and flight. We either bear in, dig down, and begin to just fight, and we fight everyone and everything, even those we love in life, or flight. We just bail. And somehow we got to learn how to face the hard things of life. But to learn how to do it with a sense of efficiency and of even effectiveness and to have greater confidence. I don't know how many of you know the name Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane. He was originally from Pennsylvania. His father was a major general in the Union Army, a prominent abolitionist, and was awarded for his role at Gettysburg. His mother was a medical doctor, and Dr. O'Neill followed after her and became a physician. He became convinced over his career that far too much anesthesia was being used in sleeping patients. You remember they couldn't check all of the breathing. They just put them down and put them deep. And he believed that a lot more surgeries could be done with a local anesthetic. And so after having done nearly 4,000 appendectomies, he finally convinced someone that he was going to do a localized anesthetic and perform an appendectomy. So they brought the patient in. He went through the process, and with only a few minor soreness and issues and discomfort, the patient came out just fine. Do you know who the patient was? Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane. With mirrors and with support, he localized his own place and took out his own appendix. He operated on himself. And what an amazing thing that was. Propped himself up, used mirrors, had some other people around. But I say that because, guys, I think in a lot of our lives, one of the things we've got to learn to do to hack it in the hard stuff is that we have got to find a way to operate on ourselves. Because a lot of the time, we are so busy trying to push everyone away and tuck everything in that we just never really get to the place where we get involved and begin to change things in our lives. I love this statement by Robert Morgan. He said, "The art of strengthening yourself in the Lord. There are times under the guidance of the great physician that we have to open ourselves up, take a look, improve ourselves, talk to ourselves, encourage ourselves, make our own changes and remove an infected attitude or an inflamed habit and help ourselves become healthier." We've got to learn how to deal with the hard stuff in life. But you don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to just do your own operation. But you do have to know how to attend to the needs of your life. And you have to begin to focus on something more than just getting through. You've got to find a way to get beyond. And in the scripture, there's an amazing, very unconventional means of dealing with trouble in life. It's found in James chapter 1 and verse 2. And listen to what the scripture says. It says in James 1 and verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." You want to be a stronger man? You want to be a truer man? You want to be an authentic man? "Then let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We've got to learn how to deal with the hard stuff of life, But somehow we've got to find joy beyond the hard stuff and through the hard stuff in life. And so in order to try to help us with some of our hacking, I have once again invited a new friend, to come and to be here with me today and for you to have the opportunity to get to know him. He's a life hacker of sorts. You could say that about him. His name is Dr. Michael Perry. He's a human performance and behavior expert. He's an executive coach, a clinical psychologist. Earlier this summer, I had Mike Perry and his wife Wendy come in and spend some time with our staff, and we worked together talking about team building and communication and some things that were really wonderful for us. He's originally from Portsmouth, Virginia, started a career of military service at Walter Reed Army Medical Hospital in the Washington area, and was designated as Deputy Chief of Risk Management and Performance Improvement. He went on for over 20 plus years with a career in the military, a portion of that time spent in Korea, just not far from the DMZ area and zone there. So many different accolades and things that were there. He was the commander of B Company, 232nd Medical Battalion, and was a part of a unique team that ushered in a new era of Army field medicine, producing EMT-certified medics to support troops in Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom. And is involved in so many different things. But this is what I want you to hear. He was selected to attend the clinical psychology doctoral program of the Uniformed Services University of Health Sciences, known as America's Medical School. And at the time he was selected, there was only one class seat per year for each service in clinical psychology, Army, Navy, and Air Force. The Army seat had gone unfilled for over a decade. They had effectively abandoned the program. But with Mike's successful progression, the Army reinitiated the efforts to fill the seat and ultimately added two more. And Mike defended his dissertation in 2009 by becoming only the third Army graduate from clinical psychology program, and he was the first African-American male graduate in psychology in the program's history. He holds a PhD in clinical psychology, a master's of science in medical psychology, and his specialty is stress and trauma. So he knows how to hack it. So I want you to help me welcome Dr. Mike Perry this morning. Come on in here.
I brought some water.
That's good. Put it right there. All right, Mike Perry. Glad to have you, my friend.
Thank you.
And I have to say, there was a whole lot more that I could have shared and used to try to introduce you to these guys. And as I say that, I have to immediately say I'm a little bit intimidated by, your smarts, your skill, your size. I kind of look at all this and I just say, there's one equalizer. Look at the top of our heads.
Yes.
We both share the same follicle challenge.
Yes, sir.
Way to go, baby. Glad to have you. Have a seat, Mike.
Thank you.
Glad to get you here this morning. Take a minute, just greet the men, if you will, and just give them a word this morning.
Yeah, no, good morning. I'm glad to be here. It's interesting. This room looks a lot bigger from this side of the room,
yeah.
Right? But it's just good to be here. I mean, I've always been amazed. I think 2 years ago, actually, in this month, I came to Summit for the first time.
Wow.
And I was shocked that this many brothers would come out at 6:30 on a Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was like. I said, who is in charge? Who runs this thing? And Lane stepped up here, and I'm like, holy smokes, who does he coach? He's got to coach somebody. Right? but it is amazing to be here, so I just appreciate it.
That's
it's good
great.
To see you all this morning.
Well, he is a coach. Lane is, even as you are, and that's something I love. Now, some of you may be wondering. Last week, I had a PR guy here. This week, I've got a psychologist. But I think I'm okay, really. This is for you. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Well, let's talk about men and hacking the hard stuff, because in the difficult times of life, you've met a lot of men, work with a lot of men going through hard things in life. What is it that you think sometimes makes the hard stuff hard for men? Maybe that's the easiest way I can ask that question.
We do. So everyone goes through pressure, right? I mean, ultimately, it's all about pressure.
Right.
And pressure comes from, I think, expectations. I mean, being a man, it's a difficult job, right? It's supposed to be. And so there's all these things that we're supposed to do. We learn it early. And you have to, you know, got to show up. You got to be on every day. You have to fix it. You have to pay for it. You have to forgive, die every day. There's a lot of pressure in being a man. And so we take that on, and a lot of us will internalize it because you can't tell anybody either, right?
Right.
Because you're supposed to be able to suck it up.
You just got to be a man, right?
Just be a man.
Be a man.
Right.
And be a rock.
So that makes it difficult because all those messages put us in a place where we're supposed to fix it. And so if I'm supposed to fix it, how am I supposed to ask you? Because if I ask you somehow, that suggests that maybe I'm not capable of fixing it.
Right.
Right. So that's one of the things that those are some of the things that makes it very, very
well. And then men, because of that, become very isolated. And I know that one of the things that you have had a lot of involvement with is that men tend to do destructive things because of that isolation, because they fear they can't live up to expectations, because they fear that somehow they can't withstand. You've got some statistics or maybe just some information about men and the way they respond at a very extreme level with destructive behavior in their lives.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned isolation because we have become, as a society, more isolated, and we get less sleep and things like that. So, And this is not this isn't official, so I'm not quoting research that's been done. I've just been looking at trends, and one thing I noticed one day is that if you look at a trend line, when smartphones came online, around the time smartphones cross landline phones in terms of saturation, that's around the time about 1999 when the suicide rate started creeping up, and the trend has been up since 1999.
Wow!
And so smartphones in and of themselves aren't necessarily a cause, right? But we have to look at the isolation that they give you, right? Because we believe that we're connected. We are more connected now, right? I don't know, 3,000 names in my phone or something like that.
Yeah.
But we are more disconnected than ever. And so that suicide rate, about 3/4 of that, men.
Did you hear that? 3/4 of the suicide rate are statistically men.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. It's because our means are more lethal, right?
Yeah.
More men use guns in particular, right? And so there's no second chance oftentimes.
Right.
And so a lot of times, for me, the key to, and I'll be talking about suicide later on today, part of that is finding a way to deal with that isolation. Because if you put somebody who has decided, you know, I have to do it all and I'm failing at it, and, you know, things are going all wrong and it's my fault, and you put that person by themselves and isolate them, then that becomes a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're able to talk to somebody, you realize, you know what? Everybody's jacked up.
Exactly.
I think I'm okay. I'm about average.
Yeah. That's very true. And so important, guys. And this issue is probably as sensitive and as important as any issue that we can address, the issue of suicide in our culture. I just this past week have been through just the trauma of someone that I followed on social media, a young pastor, a beautiful wife, two children, who took his life last week in California. He actually had started an organization to try to help with this, but has had a lifelong battle with depression and issues there. And of course, there are different stages of things from the heightened expectation and personal performance side to the true chemical depression side of things that do this. But guys, let me just say in front of every one of you today, if you are going to dark places, please, please, please speak to someone. Just speak to someone and let somebody get involved in your life. It's not as dark. It is not as impossible as you think. And trying to come to a place where we really can both gain intervention and ultimately the interaction that's needed is very important. I just feel a need to tell everybody that today, because this is a big issue for us.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because and I would say even before, because oftentimes, you know, we talk about prevention of suicide. Well, prevention of suicide looks like connection and relationship way upstream.
Way.
And
that's
so,
good.
You know, giving someone, you know, a phone number to call, somebody they know they can reach out and talk to and connect with, just to say, you know what, whatever, you know, complain about, dare I say, my wife, don't tell her. Is this on video? All right, just keep that to ourselves. But just jokes, but.
Well, talk to me a little bit about some ways we can begin to think about some of the things that we go through. I mean, if we're going to change something about helping men overcome the weight of expectations, what are some of the things we got to do to make that happen?
Expectations are something, right? Because We take them early on. Someone tells us, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be, right? My father said this is the way it's supposed to be. My uncle, my grandfather, whatever. And so we take that to heart, and we begin to live our lives like with those expectations, and they work, right? You know, get up early, show up early, you know, work hard, things like that. But there are a lot of things that we get that aren't necessarily helpful. And so, you know, the word tells us, you know, it says basically when I was a child, I spoke as a child, you know, acted as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so I believe being a man, in part, is about making decisions about whether or not some of those things we carry are actually helpful. Mm-hmm. And to begin to pay attention to what your wife is telling you, pay attention to how you're feeling, because sometimes some of that stuff is not helpful, right? Mm-hmm. And so my grandfather was very much, in particular, he was very staunch, you know, he was just always on.
Right.
And I didn't discover that he actually had feelings until he was like 90, I believe. So yeah, we started talking.
Yeah.
And that's when he began to really discuss things that he carried since he was 30 years old.
So maybe one of the things, if we're going to hack the hard stuff, mm-hmm. is go back and look at the messages you've believed all your life, things that you've thought that might just be a way of life for you. But you need to ask yourself that. Are these messages right? Talk with some other men about that. You know, do you struggle with this? Do you do this? Mm-hmm. Have you believed this all your life? Listen to your wife. Listen mm-hmm. to friends around you. Listen to your children. Mm-hmm. Because so many times we're only living with past messages, and we're not realizing that some of the present communication is communication trying to tell us the message you're living with is the wrong message. And we just won't hear it. So we tend to resist it and to do that. So, yeah, good.
Yes, sir.
Anything else on that?
You want another?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think let's jump right into a hack real quick, because this is important, right? I think the first thing that we have to do is to learn how to just stop.
Okay.
Right? Just stop. Because oftentimes we are immediately in that mode of trying to fix it, trying to find the answer. And we will go and do things. Well, let me just tell you, the way your brain works, right, in terms of our behavior, let's think of it in three regions. You have kind of the, what people call the lizard brain, the reptile brain, and that's the instinctive part. That part actually is, they call it that because reptiles have the exact same type structure, mm-hmm. and it's all about keeping you safe and comfortable. So, you know, and by the way, it's responsible for everything that you cannot be trusted with. Heart rate, digestion, you know, I don't know, all that stuff, right? Because if it was up to us, oh man, I forgot to turn my heart up. So all the things you can't be trusted with, right? Then there's kind of that emotional part of your brain, right? The limbic system. That part kind of adds meaning. That's memories, and that's love, and that's hate, and that's all that stuff.
Right.
And then there's the neocortex, it's the outer part. That part is the creative, to be or not to be. It is that part, you know, the organization and all those things. Well, when we get really stressed, and what we call survival mode, mm-hmm. is when, and it's automatic, right? When we get really stressed, we respond in a very instinctive way. And so we do the thing that is natural, that our body believes is the thing to do. The problem is, most of the time dealing with people, it's the exact wrong thing to do, right? That part of your brain was designed to rescue you from tigers and bears and all that, not from like the person at the red light. And so what we tend to do is react. Because have you ever wondered why you react in a moment and then boom, guilt hits. Now you're apologizing. Well, that's because that outer portion, the neocortex, it kicks in a little bit after. So you gotta wait and allow that to kick in. So I'm telling you, trust me on this, right? Who's married? Raise them up. Oh boy. Okay, so listen. Trust me on this. The next time that the tension starts going up and you get ready to say the thing that you always say, don't. Wait like 10 seconds, and I guarantee you, it'll feel like eternity, but the conversation will change. So.
And it'll kick in, and things will change.
It'll
at that
kick
point.
In, and
that's
you'll be like,
right.
You know what? And half the time, you won't even say anything. You'll be like, you know what? I'm good. And you'll go off and do whatever you do.
That's
so
good.
That's really
good. But you know, it is interesting that one of the verses that I memorized many years ago, and I have had to try to apply to my life spiritually, is Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, it's just so easy in a moment to think in that reactive mode that I am God, that I'm in charge, that I'm going to do something. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to change this. I'm going to act. Yeah. I'm going to do something. And it's not that things don't need to be done, but sometimes we need to give space to remember who God is, to remember who we are, to remember who those others are in our lives, because that is it. So stop, just stop. That's hack number one.
Just stop.
I like it. Okay. Let's go to another hack here. You've got a second one for us. Tell us what it is today.
Okay. So who gets 6 hours or less of sleep per night? Okay. Oh, man, we got work to do. Okay, so listen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're like a lot of people, right? I mean, I was looking, and look, apparently back in maybe the 20s, I believe, the average per night was about 9 hours per night. Currently, the average is about 6. It's not enough. Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, you know what? All I need is 3. I'm good, right? And all I need is 5. I'm good. Well, most of us are chronically sleep deprived, and we'd be a little slower to respond. We'd be a little bit more understanding. We'd be a little smarter. I know I would have been. And so if we got about 7 to 9 is the average range. Now, there are people, about 1% need 4 hours. Mm-hmm. 1%. So about 1% of this room are basically like these cats at this table right here, right? That's it. So, but most of us need sleep. So I won't try to have you change your whole life. 1 hour, well, I'm sorry, add like, yeah, an hour of sleep. And you may actually recognize that you feel a lot better, right? And you may recognize that you maybe respond a little differently. 1 hour, that's just to start with. Everybody, you can find that hour somewhere, I'm sure. So, but it makes a difference.
So what are some of the benefits of that extra hour of sleep?
Well, you'll be healthier. I mean, because truly, lack of sleep impacts our heart health, for sure. But you will be, it'll slow, we talked about stopping earlier, right? It'll slow your reaction time because I mean, when you're more rested, you are cognitively you function much better when you're more rested. So there's a lot of benefits to that. And you'll come to Men's Summit on time, it'll be easy.
That's good, I like it. Well, you know, honestly for me, and I will confess, I'm at a place where I struggle to get the length of sleep that I used to. And, you know, there are a lot of factors, but probably one of the biggest is that lizard brain that keeps telling me I have a function that needs attending to during the middle of the night and up and down a whole lot. So anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
One thing, I'm sorry. That is so funny.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Okay, just checking. Good. At least now I know that I'm not by myself in this, okay?
I know, and I know there are more hands that should have gone up, right? But another thing, and I don't want to stress anything, do not run out the door when I say this, but if you have a television in your room, remove the TV, and your sleep will change. I mean, you go through withdrawal for maybe a week or two, but it will dramatically change your sleep, period.
Mm. Interesting. How about your phone?
Oh, how could I forget the phone? Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. I was trying not to have him run out the door, Pastor. But yeah,
I gotcha.
But the phone, the problem is the phone is constantly buzzing. It's making sounds, et cetera. The light it creates. If you're able to remove, and really what we tell people is your room should be used for two things, sex and sleep, period. Leave the phone outside. And
somebody ought to say amen.
Amen. Because see, some of the, and
I think both of those are spiritual, as far as I know.
No question. No question. And we won't ask, because a lot of our wives use phones. We use phones.
Yeah.
I mean, remove TV and the phone. I mean, your sex life has to improve, right? I mean, what else are you going to do? So, anyway.
That's good. All right. Very good. Yeah. I knew when we got a psychologist up here, we'd get there somehow. So anyway, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I think that what you're getting to in this issue is that So many times we have just adapted behaviors and allowed behaviors in our lives with no restraints. And it's not so much the presence of those things, it's the lack of restraint with those things that cause us to fall into bad patterns. And what we need is a renewed mind. Physically, our minds need to be renewed, but spiritually they do. And that's why starting the day, it's so important to get up, read the Word, do those things when you can to begin to add that into your life and to make sure that that's part of it. Okay, let's go to a third hack. You've got a third one here for us today, and it has to do with how to deal with the hard stuff.
I believe, and I heard you say earlier, you know, when we're talking about learning, right, there's a lot of ways that humans learn, but one of the best ways is from each other. We're social creatures. And so oftentimes, you notice you walk into a room, you don't ask what the rules are, right? You scan the room to kind of determine what the best thing is to do. And oftentimes somebody, if you're out of line, somebody say, hey, you know, you gotta sit here, you gotta do that, do this. And so I believe just in life, you have to have another brother in your life that can speak into your life, perhaps when you don't have it, when maybe you're struggling, or sometimes, you know, when you're having a rough day, you can forget the thing that you know is so obvious. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be as simple as calling up somebody. I have a couple of good friends I call, and I'm like, rah, 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 and they're like, yeah, I know, I got it, you know, but do you remember what you said you were going to do? Do you remember what the Word says? Then it started hitting me with scripture, and then I'm like, oh, goodness gracious, I should have called my other friend. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the truth today. But
that's good.
We need somebody who is able to speak the truth into our lives at a time when we just can't access it.
Right.
And so, because I believe, you know, certainly that has saved me, and I have a couple of people, you know, in my life that serve that function. You know, my father's one of those people. Unique Mackey, where is he? He's in here somewhere. He's one of those people. And so there's just a couple of people who I know they're firmly grounded, because if you're going to be that person in my life, you got to be grounded in the Word.
Yeah.
Right. But you also got to let me complain a little bit. I got to be able to let me get off my chest. Then we can talk about the truth.
That's good.
Yeah.
So stop, just stop. That's number one. Add 1 hour of sleep to your night. Be amazed what that does to your life. Mm-hmm. Number three, give another brother access to know what's going on with you. And I think you actually had a scripture here. I don't know if we've got it on the screen, but a scripture that says two are better than one because they have a good return for their toil. And then it talks about how one brother can lift up another brother. That's so important for you to have that. And that's kind of the reason we do men's forum, is to create a camaraderie of men to encourage one another and to make there become an opportunity where maybe beyond this gathering, several of you will gather and have breakfast once a week and hang out together and talk together and encourage one another. So that's good. Okay, hack number four. We got a fourth one here.
Okay.
And it has to do with relationship.
Yes.
In particular.
And so a bunch of hands went up.
Yeah.
You're married folks, right? So I would encourage you to just spend 30, whatever you do today, and some of y'all are acing the course on this, so if you are, don't worry about it. But if you're that guy, and you know who you are, who works a little bit long, who, you know, stays out in the office a little bit long, who is a little bit disconnected, find 30 extra minutes to spend with your wife. 30 minutes a day.
30 minutes.
Right? And the thing is this, 30 minutes, think about it, if you do 30 minutes of cardio every day, 30 minutes of weightlifting, 30 minutes of anything, things begin to shift, right? So you're rewarded a bit more so than what you put in, right? You put in 30, but you get maybe a lifetime benefit, right? Mm-hmm. And so that'll make a tremendous difference, and she will notice. She may even tell you. So I think that.
Think she'll say, get away from here?
She might. But if she does, well, I mean, you know, you got to handle your business at home. But it is really, I think that it's important, because a lot of times we get into routines, like you said. You know, the Word, in psychology and the Word are very closely intertwined, right? I'm glad you brought up the scripture about renewing your mind, because we actually literally, as we do something, say something, think something, we're creating literal, what we call neural pathways. It's a chain of cells, right, mm-hmm. that carry signals. We're creating those, and the more we do a particular behavior, the more that behavior locks in. I mean, that's what they call it, muscle memory, but what it really is your brain creating those pathways and solidifying them as you practice a certain behavior or thought?
Well, the scripture obviously has a lot to say about marriage. Obviously, from the beginning, it says that God made the man and the woman and put them in the relationship of marriage. And, you know, there are a lot of different sort of versions of what people believe. A lot of people believe that, you know, God made man and put him in the garden and said it's not good for man to be alone. Really what God was saying is I can do better than that. Mm-hmm. And then he made woman. And that's kind of how it happened, you know. And then the other view says that no, God made man and he made woman and he put him in the garden. And he said this is good and then very good. And of course, the scripture actually says he made man and then he rested and then he made woman. So I don't know, maybe man has not rested since woman. I don't know. Right. That's another view you can take with that. But all that to say that that God created this, and in the New Testament in particular, it really talks to us about paying attention to our wives. And I can tell you this, for all the things that ask for your attention, if you neglect your wife, you will ultimately have the greatest injury in your life by living disconnected from her. And if you give attention to your wife and to your family, and part of that is an intentional increase, right, really treating and thinking and giving to that, you know, you will increase it. Many people have heard me say, what you appreciate, appreciates. And if you appreciate your wife, she'll go up in value in your life, and your life will go up in value through your marriage. And that's important.
Yeah.
All right, so here, let's get to the fifth, I think, hack. I don't know if I have them numbered or not. You have one more big thing that you said is a big hack for us to consider. Let's talk about this one.
You got to do what it takes to live in purpose. A lot of times we get caught up in it. We have to pay the bills. We got to do this. We got to do that. And we forget, or at least we neglect, what our purpose is. And I think that, and even in terms of, we talked about suicide earlier, one of the keys to living is having a reason to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to find that purpose and live in that. You know, Unique and I did a series called Purpose Under Pressure last year. And we turned it into something else. And so that is about helping men to live with what we call peace, power, and precision, right? Peace calms you down, right? It allows you to focus.
Right.
Or actually, it's peace, precision, and power. Because if you can focus, and if you can shoot, because by the way, I can hit anything with any weapon, except handgun. I'm like inaccurate. But you gotta have some peace first, right? Because if you're all moving around, you can't have that.
Right.
If you have peace, then you have precision. And if you have precision, you're gonna have power, right?
Right.
And so that's what I believe that we have to do. But it's hard for us to find that peace. And so we're off a lot of times. And then the further you separate from that purpose, then you begin to ask yourself questions like, what's the point, right? And so we gotta find what the point is. So that's what I try to do, right,
yeah,
in my work with our company, with everything. So
coming back to ministry, purpose, mm-hmm, constantly in your life, how important it is that you not lose sight of that purpose and what that purpose means and what that purpose does in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I read just this week this little quote that was from Rick Warren that said, without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason.
Mm.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Good.
Without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. Purpose, 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 living a purpose-driven life. I recently saw an interview with one of our area coaches that I thought was pretty incredible because he talked about this very thing. And so I've actually got that little clip and thought we'd share it with you guys just a minute. So if we can pull that up just a second, I think you'll have some appreciation. Not all of you will appreciate the colors he's wearing, but I think many of you will appreciate what he's got to say. So let's go here just a minute if we can and see this.
What's your word for this year?
My word is purpose, and something I'd always share that with the team on opening night. So something we talked about, I guess, back July the 30th or 31st, whenever we started there. But my word is purpose this year. My purpose as a man, my purpose as a father, my purpose as a husband, and then, you know, our purpose as a program, And then also, you know, helping my staff and my players, you know, find and fulfill their purpose. So, you know, just really c- convicted on that. I mean, we've had a lot of success. I'm going into year 11, but we've stayed true to who we are the whole way. And for me, you know, again, my purpose as a man, I know what my purpose as a man is, and that's to glorify God, that's to be a great husband and father, and it's to use the game of football to, you know, equip young people for life. I mean, that's just that simple. That's what my purpose as a man is. Our purpose as a program is to graduate our players, to give them the tools that they need to go be successful, to make sure they have a good experience and to win a championship. And that has not changed since day one. It's been the same. It's been the exact same. And everything is centered and driven by that. And then, again, you know, doing everything with purpose. You know, working hard to help my players and help my staff, you know, fulfill their purpose, find their purpose in life. And so just keeping the main thing the main thing. Again, my purpose as a man, our purpose as a program, and just staying focused on that.
How about that? It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah, you got to clap for that whether you're a Clemson fan or not, for sure. Purpose, purpose, purpose. You got to know your purpose, guys. And learning how to focus on that changes everything in life. Closing words for you, Mike, to us?
Well, I'm glad you put up Dabo. Not necessarily my team, but I mean, it's cool. But I just appreciate you having us be here. And that particular clip, he summed it up great. That's what we're all about. And so we're doing a lot of things and putting out a lot of things around purpose. And so I'm going to have to roll pretty quickly here, but Unique, because I feel like I need to talk to somebody in this room.
Yeah.
But if you feel like you need to talk to me, Unique is like, wave your hand again. He'll be standing over there somewhere.
Yeah, right,
but
back there.
But I need y'all to get with him. But you can overcome whatever pressure you've been facing. You can overcome that. And by the way, connect with that brother we talked about. If that person is not in this room, find them if you don't have them in your life. And give that person permission to speak into your life. And so I appreciate you this morning, Pastor. I appreciate y'all giving me an opportunity to speak into your lives just for a few minutes.
Awesome. How about saying thank you to Mike Perry this morning? Awesome to have here. And if the pattern continues, you'll see him regularly here as a part of our men's forum. He's always been a part. I'm thankful for that and really blessed to have him come and be a part of the day. He does have a speaking engagement downtown at 8 o'clock this morning. And so momentarily he's going to be heading out as you are. But he'll be back and we'll have a chance to speak more in the future. Guys, you got to hack the hard stuff in life. You can't just fight. You can't just flee. You got to face it. And learning how to hack it, how to adopt those steps is very important for you, for me. So, Lord, I pray today that you would work in our lives and hearts. And, Father, help us, Lord, to take small steps that have huge impact in changing the way we think, the way we feel, the way we talk, the way we live, the way we relate. God, would you just work in our lives? We need you. And, Father, the greatest desperation we have is to find our purpose in the God who made us for his purpose and glory. And so help us, Lord, to get the big purpose so that in the midst of all the day-by-day struggles that we can focus on that purpose above and beyond all else, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and know that everything else will be added to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.